AIDS through their hearts, so they'll be fine. I was with them before I came here. Violet is the one who told me where to find you. She's okay? I'm still not sure if it's safe to believe him. Yes, and so is Rin. They're both quite weak, what with all their magic being directed at healing their wounds, so we put them into an enchanted sleep while they finish recovering. A temporary sleep, don't worry. I launch forward and hug Chase tightly. I can't believe it, I can't believe it, I whisper. Then I lurch back and hit his shoulder. How the hell was I supposed to know that? Why didn't you say anything when you first arrived at the guild? I needed to know that. I'm sorry, I didn't realize. I thought you'd learned a lot in the time you've been in this world. People have said it's hard to kill a fairy. They didn't exactly elaborate on all the different situations in which that statement might or might not apply. Okay, I'm sorry. And the others? All the other rebels who were unconscious, do they need my griffin ability in order to get them out of the nightmare? At this point, I'm hesitant to use my griffin ability on any other person. The memory of what I did to Chase is horrifying. No, they're okay. They woke up once that magic, the nightmare essence, had worked its way out of their bodies. None of them had been given lethal doses yet. Okay, good. And the guild? I press my hands over my face. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have controlled them. They must think I'm a monster. But the things I said, they were good things. And I'm still so angry about the way they've treated us, but... I slowly lower my hands to my lap. But I still shouldn't have done that. I need to undo the things I said. Chase stands and holds his hand out to me. Shall we go now and do that? Then I can fill you in on how we're all going to bring Rourke down. Okay, that sounds good. Then I pause as I look at his outstretched hand. You were really... the Lord Draven? Yes. It's a long story. I can tell you all of it, if you want, when we have time. So Kala knows? And everyone else at the Oasis? Not everyone, but all the people I work with and everyone in our family, aside from Jack, are aware of my history. After one last moment of hesitation, I reach for his hand and let him pull me up. He finds a stylus somewhere inside his jacket and opens a doorway. Then we walk into the darkness and head back to the guild to fix my mess. Chapter 25. After going back to the guild with Chase and telling every person there that they can disregard all the commands I gave them, and then making a hasty escape, we walk out of the fairy paths into a stylishly furnished living room. I'm reminded for a moment of the scene I walked into inside Dash's nightmare, a high-rise apartment with blurred city lights beyond the floor-to-ceiling windows. But this is definitely a different apartment. The floating gold timer in the corner is a giveaway, so as I walk forward, I push the disturbing memory aside. I see the back of a couch and a golden head resting on a cushion. But as our footsteps sound against the glossy floor, Kala looks around. She jumps up, rushes around the side of the couch, and pulls me immediately into a hug. Are you okay? She asks, her arms remaining tightly around me. Images of blood and Danny's head come to mind, and I find I can't answer. Kala whispers something to Chase, and his reply is just as quiet. Then Chase says, She thought Vi and Rin were dead. Kala pulls away from me. I was afraid of that.
You probably should have mentioned your concern to me before I went to find her, Chase says. Our, conversation, he looks at me with a small smile, would have been a lot shorter if I'd started with the fact that Vi and Rin survived.
I can hardly believe it, I say. Blades through the heart, and they survived?
Kala leads me out of the living room and along a passageway. Quietly, she pushes open a door. Inside the bedroom, both Vi and Rin are asleep on the bed. See? Kala whispers. They're fine. Or at least, they will be soon. I walk quietly to the bed. I don't touch either of them, but I watch for long enough to make sure I see their chests rise and fall. Then, I return to Calla's side. As I pause in the doorway and look back, a startling idea appears suddenly in my head. An idea I must have been too shocked and heartbroken to think of earlier. Blood pounds through my veins as I consider it. If Vi and Rin had died, truly died, could my Griffin ability have brought them back to life? It worked for Chelsea and Georgia. Or did it? They died for real soon after my Griffin ability reversed Ada's glass power, and Dash said it was because they were human and their bodies couldn't handle magic. But what if that wasn't it? What if it was because no one can truly be brought back from the dead? I never saw them again after it happened, but maybe they weren't normal anymore. Maybe they had become... My stomach turns as I think of certain supernatural horror movies I've seen. I struggle to push the images from my mind. Ada. Danny. If I could somehow find out what the Guild did with her body and... It sickens me even further to think it. Her head. Could I undo her death? But there would be no magic to undo this time. It was my actions that killed her. Could I undo those? Could I tell time to reverse? I press my hand against my brow, my disturbing thoughts making my head spin. Em? Calla asks, and I realize I'm still standing in the doorway of Vi and Rin's room. Yeah. Sorry. I turn away, and she closes the door. It all has to start somewhere. Chase warned me earlier. For you, Em, it could be starting right now. No. I'm not starting anything. I'm not going down that path. I won't experiment with time and death. Are you sure you're okay? Calla asks. Yes. I give my head a small shake. What about Dash? I ask as we walk back to the living room. I assume he's okay, too, or Chase would have said something. Yes, Dash is also asleep. He was quite weak after using so much magic, carrying so many people out of Reinhold, and then fighting those guardians. And he had a few wounds that needed to heal, but he's fine. He should wake soon. We sit on the long couch, facing the window, and Calla adds, Aurora's here, too. And Imperia's on top of the building. And everyone else? All over the place. Some of them are resting in the other rooms here, or they're out somewhere else in the world, taking care of personal matters. Chase and I told them to be as brief as possible if they need to go to the Oasis. We assume they've all been tagged with the same tracking spell you and I have. I play with the tassels along with the edge of one of the cushions. So we'll all have to leave this apartment soon, then. Whose place is this, anyway? A friend of Chase's. He's out of town at the moment. As are many people who live in this area, considering how close we are to Central Park. But we'd be leaving this place soon, anyway. Things are happening quickly now that the summit is over. Before I can ask about the summit, Chase walks back into the room, holding two glasses.
Nothing fancy, I'm afraid,
he says as he hands us each a glass. Just water. But I'm going out now to find something to eat. Bagels? Calla asks. He smiles.
Yeah, hopefully. Then once Dash is awake, we can tell him and Em what's happening next.
Cool, Calla says. I'm too busy downing my glass of water to respond. I didn't realize until Chase put it in front of me just how thirsty I am.
Looks like you need some more of that, he says.
Yes, thank you. I'm about to hand him my glass when I see that it's already refilled itself. Oh, thanks. He opens a doorway against the large window and disappears through it. Calla drinks her water, and we're quiet for a few moments. Though I've been distracted by our conversation, I can't stop the horrifying images that come rushing back to fill my head now that my mind has a chance to wander. I lean forward and stare into my glass. I take a shaky breath and say, I killed someone. She's quiet for a moment before answering. I know. When I think back on it, I don't know how it happened, it just did. She was coming toward me, and I had a sword in my hands, and then it was done. It was self-defense. I saw it, Em. At that moment, it was either you or her. Yes, I needed to defend myself, but did I need to kill her? Surely I could have stopped her in some other way. Calla puts one arm around me and pulls me closer. Don't do that to yourself. It won't help. And the part that makes me really sick is that, in that moment, I wanted to kill her. Well, you definitely wouldn't be the first person to have felt that way about someone who's murdered loads of innocent people. It's just, I don't know how to feel about any of it except sickened and horrified and guilty. So, one of the many people who've joined the Oasis over the years is an elf with a background in counseling. I pull away and look at her with one raised eyebrow. Counseling? Yeah, I know. I figured you'd look at me like that. But I think when this is over and we get back to the Oasis, that maybe you should talk to her. I sigh and push myself to the edge of the couch. I guess. Maybe. As long as she's nothing like the counselors at Tranquil Hills Psychiatric Hospital, I should be okay with that. She's cool. I think you'll like her. I stand and walk to the window. Dim light in the lower part of the sky suggests it's early morning, but the city is still a sea of tiny lights. Except I realize as my eyes travel across the cityscape for the large area consumed by twisted vegetation. Holy flip, I murmur. There's so much of it. What happened? It's apparently all across Central Park again, Calla says, joining me at the window. And it's spread even further on this side. Roots and vines and things have been pushing through buildings, destroying them. In most cases, people have been able to get away in time. The enchanted plants don't move that quickly. But there have been wide-scale evacuations, so hopefully this city won't see too many more casualties before the guild kicks Rourke's ass out of here. Human soldiers have been trying to get into the enchanted area, of course, but there's a shield around it. I heard a news report about bullets rebounding off an invisible layer around the forest. As she speaks, I see a bright orange-white flash over part of the forested area. Clearly, that hasn't stopped them from trying with various forms of explosives, Calla adds. So yeah, Rourke's making sure the armed forces from this world can't stop him, and the guild's going to have to fight through that shield too when they get here. Chase said he couldn't get to the other side through the fairy paths. I swallow, still stunned by what I can see from here. Sometimes I wonder if I've been inside an endless dream since the moment I spoke to the ground and it tore open at my feet. The things I've seen are just beyond belief. I mean, this? I gesture toward the enchanted, overgrown disaster zone. I never, ever imagined anything like this would happen in my world. I know. Every time I look out there, I can barely believe it. It's no less shocking than the sun suddenly choosing not to rise, or the sky and the ground flipping the other way around. It's a fundamental part of life. The two worlds have always been separate. That's just the way it is. So to see so much of one world spilling into the other is just almost too much to comprehend. Em? I look behind me and see Dash walking out of the passage where the bedrooms are. Warmth floods my chest. Hey, you're okay. I cross the room, and the moment I'm close enough, he pulls me into his arms. I bring mine up around his back and hold on tightly to him. He doesn't say anything else, and neither do I, and we simply stand like that for a long time. Long enough for Calla to leave the room. Long enough for me to wonder if it would be acceptable for me to fall asleep against Dash. Eventually, he says, "You told me that once I got out of my nightmare, I could hug you all the time. I took you seriously." I laugh against his shoulder. "Does that mean you're planning to never let go?" "I guess I can let go," for short periods at a time. As if to demonstrate, he gently pulls away from me.
"Are you okay?"
I ask. "I mean, really okay? Since the nightmare?" "I think I am." He scrubs one hand through his hair. "I was afraid to fall asleep earlier. I was convinced I'd end up back there. But I was so tired, I don't think I dreamed of anything. And now, being awake, it's getting easier to push those memories to the back of my mind, where they belong."
"But what about you? Are you okay?"
He shakes his head before I can answer. "Sorry. Stupid question. Of course you're not okay. I saw what happened before you left." I swallow and say, "I killed Ada, which means I killed Danny." Dash doesn't say anything else. Instead, he wraps his arms around me and we stand in another hug for a while.
"Is it okay," I say eventually, "if we don't talk about her?"
"Sure, whatever you want." We walk to the window and Dash says, "I assume you know that Vi and Rin are going to be fine?"
"Yes."
Still a little shocked about that. Shocked in the best possible way, of course.
"Yeah. Fairy healing magic is pretty amazing."
We stare out the window together. His fingers find mine and slowly intertwine with them.
"So," he says after a while.
"Victoria, huh?"
"I know.
Weird, right?"
"It's crazy. I suspected, you know, when Zed told us about the changeling spell and that your parents were a talented guardian couple. I thought of Vi and Rin and their little girl who died. But it seemed way too far-fetched."
"It is far-fetched. It just happens to be true as well.
You know, if things had been different, you and I would have grown up knowing each other. We might have been very good friends. We might have been..."
"Exactly where we are now?"
"Yes, well, without all the other stuff. Stanmead, Ada, Zed, you almost winding up married to an Unseelie prince. But we might still have been standing here together, preparing to fight Rourke, because he would have tried to tear the veil open further with or without you, and feeling semi-awkward because we kissed each other before both worlds got turned upside down, and now we really want to kiss each other again, but it's so not the appropriate time." I press my lips together, but my laugh escapes me anyway.
"Oh, is that what we're feeling?"
"Yes." He gives me an innocent look. "Isn't that what you're feeling?" I rest my head against his shoulder as I continue to smile. "It's actually a crazy kind of comforting to think of it that way. You know, that we're meant to be here right now, in this moment."
"Yeah."
He presses a brief kiss against the top of my head.
"It is."
Chapter 26. Chase returns with a collection of bagels, and he, Calla, Dash, and I eat quickly before sitting around the dining room table to discuss what was decided at the summit. "Why is no one else here for this meeting?" I ask before Chase begins.
"I've already reported back on the summit to everyone else," he says. "They know what their next step is. You were at the Guild, Em, and Dash was asleep."
"I prefer the term recovering from extreme exhaustion and overuse of magic," Dash says. "Makes me sound less lazy." Calla rolls her eyes. Chase says,
"Okay, let's get through this quickly. Cal and I need to leave in about 20 minutes.
"Leave for where?" Dash says. Calla tells him to be quiet. Chase opens his mouth to speak again, and at that point, a spider scurries across the table, transforming into a mouse before it reaches me. Bandit runs up my arm and onto my shoulder.
"Sorry," I say to Chase.
"You can carry on now."
"Right. Here's what's happening. The Fey World's army of joined forces will be marching on Rourke and his followers this afternoon."
"So soon?"
Dash asks. "The situation is urgent. No one wants to waste any more time. And Rourke's army is small. It's half the Unseelie army, if that. So if we take the other half, plus the Seelie army, plus all the Guardians, it should be easy enough to defeat Rourke. Once that's done, the Unseelies will deal with Rourke and the Unseelie defectors. Next, a small force of Guardians will remain behind to remove the Enchanted Forest, while the rest of the Guardians and Sealy soldiers will split between the three areas of the Fey world where humans have invaded. Guardians have tried repeatedly over the past few days to push the human forces back, but the humans keep returning with more weapons. However, with additional Sealy support, the Guild thinks they'll be successful now. Once the humans are back in their own world, the Guardians will reinforce the glamours and add additional protection to those three openings into the Fey realm, so they're properly hidden. Lastly, as soon as the previous goal has been achieved, every single Guardian who can be spared will be sent to locations all across the human world to spread a vaporized potion the Guild has been working on for the past week. It contains a memory-altering enchantment with all the specific details of the story the Guild would like the human world to believe. This enchantment will be spread by magical winds, and the Guild and other leaders are hopeful that the majority of people will breathe it in. Once they've all forgotten that our world actually exists, the Guild will then send out smaller teams over the next few weeks to fix up areas of damage and alter specific memories related to those areas of damage. I can see some serious flaws in that plan, I mutter. What is the story they're hoping the humans will believe? Dash asks. I didn't think it would be possible to make everyone forget our existence, given the amount of destruction Rourke has caused. Chase sighs. The story sounds rather implausible to me, but all the leaders agreed on it. They want the humans to believe that a whole host of natural disasters across the world are responsible for all the damage that's actually been caused by Rourke and his followers. They want to blame this all on natural disasters? I repeat, seriously? You think people are going to believe that a gigantic forest growing in the space of a few days and pushing its way through buildings and roads is a natural disaster? I think they'll find it easier to believe that, Kala says, than to believe in the existence of a magic parallel world. And the forest itself will be gone by then, Chase adds. Only the damage will remain. And Riningsville? Can they blame the disappearance of an entire section of land on a natural disaster? A special team has been assigned to Riningsville, Chase tells me. That's part of the long-term plan. But what about all the news footage and the photos and videos? Dash asks. Surely those aren't going anywhere. The enchantment includes the belief that those videos were all hoaxes put together by a special effects team as part of a publicity stunt leading up to a major film releasing later this year. I tap my fingers on the table and say, you know what? That might actually work. Cal is right that people would choose to believe any explanation other than a magical or supernatural one. Dash leans back and folds his arm over his chest. What about all the people who don't breathe in the memory-altering enchantment? They'll be the minority, Chase says, and they probably won't say anything once they realize the rest of the world believes a completely different story. And it's not as though it's a new thing for there to be some humans who know about our existence. It's always been that way. And the natural openings between the worlds? Dash asks, pointing out yet another problem. Those who don't forget will come looking for them, and even if they can't see the openings, they know exactly where they are now, so they'll come right back through them. Possibly, Chase says, and while that's a risk the Guild and everyone else is willing to take, mainly because they have no other option, it isn't a risk we're willing to take. He looks at Kala. She turns to me. We were kind of hoping you could close the openings. She says, oh, yes, I can do that. I sit forward and place my arms on the table, a small thrill racing through me at the idea that I'm being allowed to make a meaningful difference with my magic. And I can do other stuff, too, like telling all the humans to go back to their own world. That would keep the Guild and Sealy's from having to do a whole load of fighting. And if Rourke still has a shield up around his enchanted forest by the time everyone wants to invade this afternoon, I can tell it to come down. That'll save the Guardians and everyone else from trying to break through it with magic. Concern fills Kala's expression, but she doesn't say no. All these things would require quite a lot of power from you, Em. That's okay. I drank some of that elixir before I went to the Guild, and I still have power left over from that,
and my ability will replenish again before this afternoon, so that will be additional power. Plus, I can go back to the Oasis and get the other vial. Then, if I do run out of power, that will simulate more. I should be fine. Still, she doesn't look entirely convinced. Em, have you seen the size of the area Rourke's magic has spread across? Because that's the size of the shield he and his followers have created. It's far bigger than the one that was around Noxum, and there are a lot of human soldiers who've now made their way into the Fey Realm. That's a lot of people to control. And on top of that, closing three gaps in the veil is going to take a huge amount of power. Even with the elixir, I'm worried you're going to run out. Okay, then I won't worry about commanding the humans. I'll bring down the shield so everyone can get through to Rourke and his army, and then I'll go close the gaps after all the humans have been pushed back into this world. Kala says, okay, I guess bringing down the shield is important too. Wait, Dash says. One more problem. How do we know the Seers aren't going to see that M's planning to close these openings? If they do, they might send a few guardians to capture her. That's what happened after we got away from Reinhold with the rest of the rebels. I wondered how those guardians found you, Kala says. How did you find us? I ask, tilting my head to the side. Did Aurora tell you where we were? Yes, she used your amber to send me a message telling me her location. She explained that you and Dash had gone to Reinhold to rescue the others, and were planning to return to her. Okay, back to Dash's question about the Seers. Chase says, hopefully they won't interfere if they see a vision of you closing the gaps, Em. You'll be helping the guild. They'd close the gaps themselves if they knew how to. And what? A new voice asks. If these natural gaps are not supposed to be closed? Aurora, I say, looking up. I push my chair back and stand. She places her hands on her hips as she looks at me. You kicked me. I did. I'm sorry, but at least Ada didn't slice your throat open. She rushes around the table and wraps her arms tightly around me. Thank you. I mean, you could have used magic to shove me out of the way, but I understand that magic still isn't automatic for you. Kicking clearly comes more easily. I roll my eyes as I pull away from her. Can I stay for the rest of this meeting? She asks. I think my question is valid. Sure. Chase says. I return to my chair, and Aurora takes the empty seat on my left. Your question definitely is valid. He continues, and no one knows if the natural openings in the veil exist for a reason or not. But we do know there are more than just three. So we hope that closing only those three won't have any negative impact on either world. Okay, Aurora says. And I suppose the negative impact of not closing them would be worse. Dash leans forward. So you've told us what the guild, Seelies and Unseelies, will be doing. But you haven't said what you guys and the rest of your team of rebels will be up to. I assume you'll be involved somehow? You wouldn't stay away from something this important. Kala smiles as she looks at Chase. He knows us so well, doesn't he? There are plenty of people who will be facing Rourke, Chase tells us. But until they've defeated him, no one will be holding back the human forces in those three parts of the Fey Realm, other than the local Fey who've already been fighting for days. Some of whom have no idea how to fight, Kala adds. So that's where we'll be, Chase continues. We've split our team, our full team minus Vi and Rin, into three groups. That isn't much, but we have Griffin abilities, which puts us at a major advantage. Including a whole bunch of abilities from Gaius's vault, Kala says, which he's finally allowing us to use. Is that where everyone else is right now? Dash asks, back in our world fighting humans? Not yet, Chase says. I gave them a couple of hours off to sort their lives out, take care of personal or family matters or whatever. After all, half our team just spent a week locked inside their own minds. I figured they needed a few hours off before launching into the next battle. A few hours, Aurora mutters, her tone suggesting that number isn't nearly enough. And I guess she's right, but with our world and the state they're currently in, I guess Chase couldn't give them much more than that.
So that's where Calla and I are off to now, Chase tells us. To meet everyone else before we split into three groups. Dash, you'll stay with Em near Rourke's Enchanted Forest so Em can remove the shield surrounding it when our army shows up. Then you'll go with her to close the gaps. These are the locations. He slides his amber across the table toward Dash. And don't you dare let anything happen to her, Calla says.
Hey, she's actually not too bad at taking care of herself, Dash says, pulling the amber closer.
If my griffin ability doesn't run out, which it won't, I add at the sight of Calla's raised eyebrows, because I'm going to pick up the rest of the elixir before we leave for this little mission.
Good. Chase stands. He looks at Calla.
Then I guess you and I need to go battle some human soldiers, and they're not particularly nice weapons.
I stand as well, suddenly anxious about the fact that they'll be fighting against bullets and explosives.
What is it you guys say to each other sometimes?
Stay alive?
Yeah,
Dash says.
That's the one.
Stay alive, I say, looking first at Calla and then at Chase. I mean it. Chapter 27.
You know I'm going with you and Dash, right?
Aurora says to me that afternoon when I return from the oasis with the remaining vial of elixir.
Aurora, I say patiently, you need to stay here with Vi and Rin. If the countdown timer reaches zero and they're still asleep, you need to move them somewhere else.
Firstly, she answers, I think every guardian in existence has more important things to do right now than track down griffin rebels. And secondly, if we're gone that long, I'll just come back here at the right time and move them. It's not like someone has to be with them at all times. Calla said she put, like, a bazillion protective enchantments around this apartment to lock out anyone who isn't us.
I know. But I think guardians can eventually get through those because they're not the super complex kind, and I sigh.
I would just feel a whole lot better if I knew someone was here with Vi and Rin. Also, if they happen to wake up while we're all still gone, you can tell them what's going on.
Aurora groans. It looks for a moment like she might even stamp her foot, but then she calmly places that foot back on the floor and says,
Okay, if this is what you need me to do, then I'll do it.
And can you make sure Bandit doesn't follow me when Dash and I leave?
Bandit, curled up on the couch in the form of a cat, looks up at me.
See, I say,
he's already plotting how to get out of here without me noticing.
Hey, Em, are you ready to go? Dash asks, turning away from the window. I could see them from here. The Fey army? At least the part that's coming down this road. I assume they'll be approaching from all sides?
I move to the window and look out at the lines of marching people down below.
That's so freaking weird. I wonder if they're glamored or if any human who hasn't evacuated the area can see them too.
Well, if they can, Dash says, putting his jacket on. They'll forget about it once the battle's over, and the guild has spread their memory-altering enchantment.
True. Okay, then. Noticing that there's no longer a cat lying on the couch, I look around for Bandit and find him sneaking up my leg in the spider form he used on the table earlier.
You know, Bandit, this is not a particularly safe form, I tell him, as I carefully detach him from my pants and place him back on the couch.
You're in danger of being squished by every spider-hating person in the world.
In both worlds, Aurora says with a shiver.
Bandit shifts back into a cat, and Aurora adds,
That's better, I like cats.
She sits on the couch and tucks Bandit beneath her arm.
Ready, Em? Dash asks. I turn and find that he's already opened a doorway beside the window. Suddenly, I feel ridiculously nervous, as nervous as I was before we broke into Noxum.
This is going to be fine, right?
I say to Dash, allowing some of my fear to peek through.
Of course.
He gives me that cocky grin of his, the one I used to hate, the one I haven't seen in far too long.
I'm with you, that's why.
I almost kiss him. If I wasn't feeling like I might throw up at any moment,
I'd definitely tug him closer and press my lips against his. Instead, I take his hand and step into the fairy paths.
Don't do anything silly,
Aurora calls after us.
Stay out of danger. Shoot, I think I'm channeling Kala right now.
Then, the darkness swallows us up, and Aurora's voice is gone. We walk out of the paths onto a cracked road and find ourselves between an upturned donut van and half a bench. The crackling sound of magic reaches my ears. I duck down immediately, tugging Dash with me. We look around, getting our bearings. We are right at the edge of Rourke's forest. A few roots have pushed their way through the road, and slim vines have wrapped around some of the vehicles left behind. But that's about the worst of it right here on the edge.
I see them, Dash says. The army. They've reached the edge of the forest.
I lean past him to get a better view. Between two cars, I catch a glimpse of the Fey army. Flashes of magic light up the air just ahead of them.
Looks like they're trying to get through the shield already. I guess it's time to help them.
I sit back against the van, remind myself that I have nothing to be nervous about, and then say one simple sentence. The shield around Prince Rourke's enchanted forest no longer exists. Power rushes out of me. A large amount, but not everything. I have more than the normal amount, thanks to all that elixir I swallowed before charging into the guild. I hear a roar from the Fey army, and I know it must have worked.
Well done, Dash says, reaching for my arm and squeezing it. You did it.
I sit up and look past him again. Doorways are opening up all along the perimeter of the forest, and fairies are disappearing into them.
I wonder if they know where they're going, I say.
I wonder if Rourke's army is spread out, hiding in the forest and waiting to attack, or if they're all lined up somewhere, like maybe Haverton Tower is his new palace, and his army is guarding it.
I don't know, but we don't need to worry about that. We need to get our first location inside the Fey Realm and wait to close the gap.
I sigh. Seems like it might be useful to try to hunt down Rourke and command him and his army to stop all of this, but that's definitely not happening, Dash says. It's unlikely we'll get close enough for your voice to have any influence over him, and it's way too dangerous.
That is actually a good question, I say, sitting back. How close to a person do I need to be in order to command them?
I hate to be the boring one, Dash says, since that's not usually my role, but now's not the time to find out.
He opens a doorway against the side of the van, takes my hand, and we crawl into the darkness. A boom almost deafens me the moment we reach the other side. Something, sand, sprays through the air nearby. One of the tall, spindly trees cracks right down the middle, and the two halves begin falling to either side. I hear a rapid puh-puh-puh before something wraps around my arm and tugs me into the darkness once more.
Sorry, 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 Dash says the moment we tumble out of the paths a second time. We're surrounded by the same spindly trees, but they are blackened and smoking, and ash covers the ground everywhere I look. The sounds of explosions and gunfire are in the distance now.
Are you okay? Dash asks.
I'm sorry, that was too close. I took us too close.
Yes, I'm fine.
I cough as smoke catches in my throat.
Fuzzbucket. That's what needs to end before you can tell the gap to close. In three different places.
Dash, I think... I turn and look in the direction of the distant booms. I think I need to stop that. Surely that's more important than waiting for other people to stop it, for more people to get hurt or killed, and then closing the gap behind them.
He nods slowly.
Yeah, I think you're right. Maybe Kala and Chase didn't realize how bad it's become, or maybe they thought it would be easier for them to stop it.
I push one hand through my hair.
Crap, I hope they're okay.
They have shield magic, don't worry.
So, should I do this? I ask, dropping my hand to my side. Should I tell the human forces to leave? But there's so much noise, and they can't hear me, and...
M, that doesn't matter. Do you think the reception desk inside Reinhold could hear you when you told it to show you where all the Griffin rebels were?
No. It didn't have ears.
A small and somewhat hysterical laugh escapes me.
You're right, Of course, you're right. Sorry, I wasn't thinking for a moment. Dash takes hold of my shoulders, and his intense green gaze locks onto me.
I think you should stop them, and hopefully it won't take as much power as stopping a magical army would. It's not as though you have to halt actual magic. You're just telling them to stop, turn around, leave, and not come back.
Yes, okay, yes. I bite my lip, then add, Calla and Chase are going to be so mad when they realize what I've done.
You know what? If they're in the middle of that...
He points toward the noise.
I don't think they're going to be too mad.
He opens a doorway once again.
I'll try to get close, but not too close. Be ready to use your power.
The noise sounds shockingly near when the fairy paths open on the other side. I should speak immediately, but I hesitate, questioning what I'm about to say after the confrontation I had with Chase. But deep down, when I really think about it, I know this is the right thing to do. This isn't like controlling the guild. This is a battle, and both sides are fighting with whatever skills they possess. This just happens to be my skill. Every single human in this area will stop fighting, turn back toward the gap between this world and the non-magical world, walk through that gap, and never return. Dash grasps my hand. I open my eyes, and I watch my command come to life. As the humans file dutifully out of our world, Dash takes me closer to where the actual opening in the veil is. It doesn't look like the artificial tear that was once above Velazar II Island. If I hadn't known this one was here, I wouldn't have seen it. There's nothing at all to see. The humans march along between the trees, and then at some point they simply vanish. Once they've all walked through, I drink about a third of the elixir. I don't want to risk running out of power before this command is complete. Then I focus on that patch of air where everyone disappeared, and I tell the gap between the worlds to close. It uses almost all my power, leaving only a little bit behind. I hope it worked, I say to Dash. It's hard to know when I can't see anything different. We duck quickly behind a tree as several guardians race up to the spot where the last human disappeared. They try various forms of magic and move their hands in different formations, but nothing happens when they try to walk through something.
Yep, Dash says. I think it worked.
We move to the second location, and after drinking another third of the elixir, I repeat my commands. The humans are gone, the veil is closed, and we move on to our final spot. And this one, it seems, is the worst. More yelling, more gunfire, more flashes of magic and lightning. Rain slams at my face, and wind almost knocks me over. I lean closer to Dash's ear and say, "Something tells me that Chase might be at this location." Then I swallow the last remaining elixir and shut my eyes as my power rushes through my body once more. Every single human in this area will stop fighting, turn back toward the gap between this world and the non-magical world, walk through that gap, and I suck in a breath as dizziness rockets through me. "Em?" Dash catches me before I fall. Everything becomes disjointed. When the dizziness finally subsides and I find myself lying on the ground, I mumble, "Damn it. Your power's depleted, isn't it?" "Yes," I say as I push myself up to sit beside him. "It's okay. You got most of the command out. They're all leaving." "But that last part is important, Dash. The part about them not returning. Because if they have enough weapons, then maybe they can force their way back in before that enchantment spreads everywhere and they forget there's another world here." The guild didn't seem to think that was likely. The guild didn't have a better option. They were probably planning to sacrifice more guardians in order to keep all the humans out until that enchantment spreads.
"Okay, so we wait here until your griffin ability replenishes."
"That's too long," I mutter, staring past him. "How many people could die in that time?"
"I know, Em. I get it. But if there's nothing we can do, then..."
"Wait," I say, my eyes returning to him as I grab his arm. "There is more elixir, the vials I left at the castle in the Shadow World." I swallow. "We can go and get those."
He groans. "Seriously?"
"Yes. Calla still has part of the traveling candle we used to get out of the Shadow World. It's in her house at the Oasis. We can fetch it, go to the Shadow World, get the elixir, and come back here. It'll be quick."
Dash hesitates before saying, "Yeah, okay, I guess it's not like Rourke's going to be there if he's in the middle of a battle in New York City."
A shiver ripples through me as we arrive inside the castle in the Shadow World. Has it only been a week or so since Kala and I escaped? It feels like far too many things have happened. Far too many things have gone wrong since then. But everything looks the same here. The empty passageways are varying shades of gray, and tendrils of smoke-like blackness rise here and there. They shift lazily through the air as we hurry along the corridor to the room that was mine for the few days I lived here with Danny. Danny. Dead. Her head almost detached. I take a steadying breath and shove the images from my mind. "Have you been back here since the whole Velazar thing?" Dash asks. "Briefly. Rourke actually captured me after the guild took you guys, but Kala got me out."
"Flip, thank goodness for Kala. That sounds like another story you'll have to catch me up on when we're done with all this."
"Yeah." We turn a corner and continue along the corridor. It was weird, though. For a few days after we escaped, I kept feeling this strange sort of pull, as if part of me wanted to return to this world. It was only during the first day Kala and I were traveling alone together that I realized what was going on. She said something about home, and my automatic first thought was the Shadow World. And then I remembered that when Danny and I decided to stay here, I used my griffin ability to tell this world that it was our home. Clearly my magic took me seriously when I said that. It kind of freaked me out. So I used my ability again and told myself the opposite. That seemed to do the trick.
"Good," Dash says, "'cause it's disturbing to think of this world having some kind of pull on you."
"I know." "Okay, this is the one," I say, pushing a bedroom door open. I step inside, and the room is bare, except for a bed frame and a wardrobe standing open and empty. "Shoot," I mutter, my heart sinking. "He cleared out my stuff." Beside me, Dash sighs heavily. "I guess it makes sense. I know, I just figured he wouldn't be bothered with looking through all the rooms. I thought maybe he'd abandoned this castle, this whole world, since starting to take over the human world, but maybe..." I spin around and head back down the corridor. "Maybe he kept them," I say to Dash as he catches up to me. "Maybe the vials are in his office." We hurry back downstairs, turn along another few corridors, and enter the study Rourke was using as his center of operations when I was last here. "Good thing no one's around to stop us," Dash says, heading for a chest of drawers while I aim for the desk. "It makes sense. Rourke's followers are all fighting for him at Central Park. There's probably no one left in this. Oh, I found it. There's one vial here." I remove the tiny glass container from beside a collection of black candles in the top left drawer.
"Are you sure it's the right thing?"
Dash asks, hurrying to my side. "It's got my name on it, and it's the same handwriting, so yes." I push the vial into the front pocket of my pants, and voices sound from outside the room. Dash grabs hold of me and pulls me down behind the desk. I press one hand over my mouth and another against my chest, where my heart thunders way too loudly.
"Yes, all fighting has ceased, and two of the gaps have been closed now,"
Rourke says as his footsteps move into the room.
"He informed me just moments ago. It's a nuisance that the guilds figured out how to close off those areas, but I can always give the humans more locations. They can get through to our world and other places and continue their attacks."
"And you're certain they don't know who you are?"
a second man asks, a man with a deeper voice, a man who sounds very much like Unseelie King. Dash mouths. I nod. Then I point to his jacket and mouth, "Candle." "Wait," he responds, but he slowly reaches for the candle anyway.
"No, I'm just another fairy to them," Rourke says, "a fairy they can't stand dealing with, but they'll continue to pay me for the information they want."
He snickers.
"They have no idea I'm the one they've been trying so hard to remove from Haverton Tower and the surrounding area."
"Your Majesty?" a third voice inquires.
"The army's finally made it into the Haverton Tower Hotel."
"Good," the king says.
"Let's go and surprise them."
"What the hell?" Dash mouths. A door creaks as it swings open. I lower my head closer to the floor and peer beneath the lower front edge of the desk. It looks as though the door that was opened belongs to a wardrobe on the other side of the room.
and within it I see swirling, sparkling magic, electric blue in the center, with darker bits detaching from the edges and vanishing. A portal, just like the one Rourke had in his bathroom, back in the Unseelie Palace.
"Send the ink shades through in 10 minutes, Marvin,"
the king says.
"Our army will have turned by then, and Rourke and I will be safely out of the way."
And with that, the Unseelie King and his son step into the portal's swirling magic and disappear. The moment they're gone, Dash rises to his feet. A glittering bow and arrow are in his hands a second later. Marvin swings around, but the arrow is already flying at him. It strikes his chest, and he stumbles back against the wall before a second arrow pierces him. He slides down to the floor. I jump to my feet, my shaking fingers already retrieving the vial from my pocket. We can't let the inkshades through. I'm closing the portal. I take a sip of the elixir, swallow, and in my next breath I say, "That portal no longer exists." It pulls my power from me immediately, and a moment later, the portal fizzles away into nothing. But we've only solved half the problem. "We have to warn everyone that the Unseelies are about to turn on them," Dash says. "Yes, and I have to close that gap. We can do both." From the desk drawer that's still open, I grab another traveling candle. "You go to Haverton Tower and warn them. I'll close the gap in the veil." Chapter 28. I race out of the ferry paths and into Chase's friend's apartment building. "Where's Bandit? I need a dragon. I need to get to the top of Haverton Tower Hotel, and the ferry paths won't take me there. I've already tried." "What the heck?" Aurora asks, getting up from the couch where she's been reading a magazine. "I thought you and Dash were done. Closed all the gaps. New emergency." I turn on the spot, my eyes combing the room for Bandit. "Oh, wait. Imperia's on the roof." I come to a stop. "Will she let me ride her without you?" "What is going on?" Aurora demands. "We were in the Shadow World. I heard your father and Rourke. They're on the same side. The Unseelies are about to turn on everyone, and they wanted to let the inkshades through, but I closed the portal, and I closed the third gap, and now I have power left over, and I need to stop the Unseelies." Aurora gapes at me as I finally take a breath. "I'm going now," I say, spinning around and lifting my stylus to the wall. "I'm taking Imperia. She knows me. It'll be fine." "I'm coming with you," Aurora says before I can write a doorway spell. "Aurora, you said my father's there." "My father? That he and Rourke are in on this together? The same Rourke who wanted to kill me?" "Rora, I want to be there," she shouts. "I need to talk to him, to ask him. I don't know. It's just, now he's ruining everything alongside Rourke, and I need to understand why. Because I thought our life was pretty awesome the way it was." I breathe out. "Violet and Rin," I say. "If they wake up and I wrote them a note, in case I had to leave, which is exactly what's happening right now," she adds as she turns back to the coffee table and grabs her stylus. She hurries back to the wall and writes the spell for a doorway. Moments later, we're running out of the paths and onto the roof toward Imperia, who seems to be napping in the late afternoon sun. It doesn't take us long to scramble up her side. Within minutes, we're clinging to the saddle on her back as she launches off the top of the building and into the sky. I wish I could enjoy the rush of being in the air again, but that'll have to wait for another time. "You can't miss it," I say to Aurora. "It's the tallest hotel." She leans forward and shouts a few commands to direct Imperia. Soon we're soaring toward the building that, from the air at least, appears to be the nerve center of the entire enchanted area. Plants protrude from every window, magic crackles around it like electricity, and the entire building appears to glow a faint green. I half expect someone to begin shooting magic at us as we swoop toward the roof, but I guess they're all further down fighting the invading Fey army. Imperia lands, and we waste no time sliding down onto the roof. The plants have made their way up here, too, creeping vines and thorny bushes and blood-red flowers. "Do you know where we're going?" Aurora asks, as we hurry between the plants toward the large glass room at the center of the roof. There's a swimming pool inside, and dozens of loungers. No people, of course. I don't hang out on the tops of hotels very often, but I'm assuming there's a way to get down into the building from inside that glass room. "I think we're going to the penthouse," I say to Aurora, but I could be wrong,
And we can't open a doorway from here into the building?
I don't think so. I saw fairies opening doorways down by the park, but it didn't work when I tried to get up here through...
Oh, flip!
I tried to duck down as first Rourke and then his father walk around the side of a particularly tall thorn bush. But of course, all the plants surrounding me are short, so there's nothing to hide behind. I stand straight and shout,
"Stop what you're..."
That sticky white substance, again, it flattens itself over my mouth and spreads all the way around my head. I try a spark of magic, but this stuff is too thick, thicker than when Ada threw it at me. I tear at the upper edge to keep it away from my nose, trying to push away the fear that I'm about to be suffocated. Aurora's hands fly to my face. Her magic burns brightly and heats my skin. I jerk away instinctively.
"Well, this is a surprise,"
King Savion says, pulling Aurora's attention away from me.
"A little family reunion."
"And she brought Emerson," Rourke adds. "How convenient." Aurora lowers her hands. They clench into fists as she faces her father.
"Are you hiding up here while your soldiers do your dirty work?"
"Not hiding," the king answers. He rests his hand on the hilt of a sword at his hip. "I'd call it waiting."
"The Unseelie soldiers who came in here fighting with the Guild and the Seelies have now switched sides. All Unseelies are now fighting together again. For us."
He gestures to Rourke and himself.
"So the two of you are, what, back on the same side again?"
I'm happy for Aurora to keep her family talking while I try to get the magical gag off my face. With any luck, they'll still be talking by the time I succeed and command Rourke and his father to stop all of this. I risk using a few more sparks, despite the fact that I'm afraid of burning my face, but they don't do enough for me to tear through the white substance.
"We've always been on the same side," Rourke says to Aurora.
Then, in what must surely be a coincidence, he assumes the same stance as his father, hand on sword hilt, one foot slightly forward.
"It would be comical if the situation weren't so dire. Father and I have been planning this for years, waiting for the time when someone decided to tamper with the veil again, waiting for the moment we could begin to take over two worlds, one for me, one for Father.
What about wanting the Shadow World to increase, and stealing Em's power so you could use it to claim that world? I thought that's what you wanted."
"Firstly," Rourke says, "I wanted Emerson's power for a lot of reasons. Claiming that world was only part of it. We would then expand the Shadow World at the expense of the human world. We always planned to have someone powerful enough to stop it from consuming the fairy world, of course. That's what Ada's Wall of Glass was for, to protect our side of the veil. But then, Emerson messed things up." His hard gaze shifts to me, and I pause in my struggling, alert for any attack that might be about to come my way.
"Perhaps you should strengthen that gag she's struggling with," the king suggests.
"Perhaps," Rourke answers. He raises his hand, makes a squeezing motion in the air, and I sense the white substance tightening around my face.
"She's fairly useless with ordinary magic, though. I doubt that gag's going anywhere, but as I was saying, Emerson..."
He returns his hand to the pummel of his sword.
"You ruined things with the veil, but I've actually been meaning to thank you for it. You helped me see that the Shadow World was never going to be a perfect world. It was never a world at all, in fact. And there was only so much I could do with magic to change that. But the human world, well, it's a real world. It has an atmosphere. It has earth and vegetation and water. The only thing that's wrong with it is that it's full of humans. But I'm working on that problem."
"And you're making a mess of both worlds in the process," Aurora says bitterly.
"Yes," the king says. "The mess is part of the plan. We get Fae and humans to fight each other. They do the hard work, drastically reducing the population on both sides of the veil. And when they're done, each world will be far easier to rule than before."
"That's just
a wonderful plan?" the king asks.
Behind the gag, I move on to a different tactic. I try with all my might to pull my lips far enough apart to murmur a command. But the stupid white stuff